Our thoughts this morning will come from the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appointed unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. This morning, I want to talk on the subject of are you ready? And I realize that there are things that we can think about very quickly in our mind if we're ready for, such as things such as death, judgment. But there's many other things in this life that we should be ready for. And that's what we want to talk about today, is a subject of just asking ourselves and doing a self-examination and looking at ourselves and seeing if we indeed are ready. Before we continue on, though, let us pray. Peter was indeed a robust man. He's a man that many people might refer to as being a man's man. He was one that was always outspoken. He was always one that seemed to be asking Jesus questions. He was at the forefront many times, as we see throughout the Gospels. Peter is the one who, when Jesus comes walking to the boat on the water, says, Lord, bid me to come to you if that be you. And of course, he stepped out of the boat, and we know the story that because he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the water, and it was wavy and the wind was blowing, that he began to sink. So he cried to the Father, Lord, to Jesus, Lord, save me. We realize that he is the one who is in the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. There's Peter, James, and John, and he's one of the three that go into the garden where Jesus goes to pray. I can see Peter as one that many of the apostles may have come to and prodded him to ask questions of Jesus that they wanted to know about because they were possibly too embarrassed or too afraid to ask. So Peter here at this event of the time in which Jesus is partaking of the Passover before he's going to go the next day and he's going to be turned over to the Romans, and he's going to be crucified. As he's telling them of the events and things that are going to transpire, Peter naturally speaks up here, and he says that I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter thought so much of himself, he thought that he had the stamina, he thought he had the faith, he thought he had the strength to do whatever was coming around the next corner. And of course, that is the thing that Jesus told to Peter. He says, I'm going to pray that your faith fail not. Well, we want Jesus to pray for us in the same way today. You don't know day by day where the next arrow is going to come from, what direction. You don't know what rock is going to be thrown at you the next time you turn around. You don't know any of these things that might happen because we don't know the future. And the idea that Jesus is telling to Peter here is your faith is what you're going to need. You know, and the Bible tells us about having the armor of God. And there's a reason for that, to protect us from what's coming around the corner next. Life can change in a moment. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next minute. Neither are our loved ones. Neither are our friends. And things can happen so fast. Today everything seems fine and we're going along and we're happy, and tomorrow it could be shattered. So when we ask, are you ready? We need to look inside ourselves and make sure our faith is what it ought to be. We need to have the faith that Peter thought he had. He thought he had the faith to do whatever was coming next. After all, he had a sword. He was ready to fight. He went to the garden with Jesus there, and as the multitude, the crowd came for him, he went with Jesus there. He drew the sword out and he smote the high priest's servant Malchus. He smote off his right ear with it. That's when Jesus told him to put his sword up. If you live by it, you'll die by it. When they took Jesus, Peter ran. And yes, he found himself that night denying that he even knew Jesus three times. And on the third time, when that cock crew, the Bible says, Jesus turned and looked at him. I can't imagine what Peter felt. This man who had bragged that, though all the rest of these may flee from you, though all the rest of these may forsake you, I'll not. Now, you know who he's talking about there? He's talking about these other apostles. They may not have the strength. They may not have the stamina. They may not have the faith. I do, Peter said. And now Peter has seen himself do just exactly what the Master said and deny he even knows him. Not once, not twice, but three times. Well, I'm sure that Satan had his day with Peter. He probably felt like he had won a great battle with Peter that day. But what happened is, instead of it having the result of totally shattering this man, of him crawling in a hole somewhere and dying, of him having guilt ridden for the rest of his life, instead it turned him into a great soldier of the cross. Because Peter was going to live to prove he had that faith. That faith that he didn't have that night, he would later have. That strength that failed him that night would not fail him again. That mistake that he made that night, thinking he was so strong, he would live to prove he was. So we, like Peter, we may be those who think, no matter what comes our way next time, we'll be ready. We need to be careful. We need to make sure that we are ready. We need to make sure that when that arrow comes or that rock flies or when that turmoil hits or when that bridge breaks, that we have our faith to rely on, that it will strengthen us. In Romans 1 and 15, the Apostle Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul had the great distinction of being able to preach the gospel at the two main capitals of the world in the Bible. He preached it at Jerusalem, where he was despised, he was hated, he was threatened, where it was that men would take his life, so much that the Roman soldiers had to intervene because he was a Roman citizen and take him to safety. And he was able at the capital of the world, at Rome, before the court of Rome, preach this same gospel from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. And Paul preached it. And we need to be ready to preach it. The message that's within us has to be felt like it is with the prophet that says, "My bones are literally on fire. How can I contain this fire within me? I've got to let it out." And letting out of that fire is the letting out of the gospel, the preaching, the telling it to others, the showing it to others. How could you have such a great and wonderful message and keep it all encapsulated just within yourself? It's there to be shared. It's there to be given to others. And Paul says, "I'm ready to preach it. I'm ready to give it." Are you today? Is the Bible instilled within you enough that you don't have to have a copy of it with you to be able to tell someone the steps of salvation? Do you know the Scriptures well enough that you're able to go out there and fight against false doctrine? You're able to correct someone and say, "Well, no, that's not what the Bible teaches." You know, there's a reason. There's an article today on the news that's talking about why Christianity is losing members today. Why is it happening in this country? And we can look at other countries and we can see it's already gone. There's only like 10% of the people in Europe even now go to church. So why are we? And one of the things that was brought up was this woman said she was a Christian until she read this book that showed that the Bible had a lot of contradictions to it. And after that, she just felt like she couldn't be a Christian anymore. Well, whoever wrote that book didn't know what they were talking about. And it's a shame she didn't know the Bible well enough to know that. And what they were writing was not correct. Because the Bible does not contradict. It cannot contradict. It is God Himself, His spoken word. How can God contradict His own self? He would not. But yet, her faith was not strong enough when she read this article, and perhaps she was already looking for some excuse. It's hard to say. Many people do. Her faith wasn't there to go back to the Scripture and to find it. So are we ready to preach that gospel? 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Peter says we've got to always be ready with the answer when it's given to us. When I look back through life and I see missed opportunities, it makes me sad that I didn't have an answer, or that I didn't have something to tell somebody, or that I didn't speak up when I should have spoken up. We learn from those things and we have to better ourselves and progress on. But always, he says, to be ready. So that's something to be ready with in life, is be ready with an answer. Be ready with the gospel to present it to those who are in need. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, rich is one of those things that a person that can be in many different levels. A person may that has nothing can look on a person that has a few hundred dollars, and to them, they're rich. A person that has a few hundred dollars can look on somebody that has a few thousand dollars and they're rich. The idea of what Paul is bringing about is not to trust in the riches of this life or the money that's here in this world, but to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, as Jesus so taught. Be ready, he said, to distribute. Be ready to do those good works. Be ready to use that God has blessed you with, graced you with, to spread his message and to be the example that we ought to be. So we need to be ready to be an example. We need to be a good example to those that are around us. We need to watch our language and the things that we say. We need to watch the way that we dress and the way that we act. We need to be that example. And to do it, we have to think upon it. We have to be ready. In Titus 3 and 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Here is Paul's writing to Titus. He's telling him, be sure the people know to obey the laws of the land as long as they do not contradict with the law of God. The law of God to us surpasses the law of the land. And we're to do what God wants us to do regardless of what man may do unto us. But we need to also remember that we're supposed to be citizens that abide by the law. What kind of name would Christians receive if we were lawbreakers? The only laws we should break, again, are those that would be contrary to what God would want us to do. We should pay our taxes. We shouldn't go out there and do things that are illegal. We should be people who are upstanding citizens, not only in the church, but also in the country in which we live. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, he speaks to the elders and says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Peter tells to the elders of the churches, look, the reason you're doing this, the reason you are an elder, is you're doing it from a ready mind. You're doing it from a mind of thought that you are going to help those who are in the flock or who are in the church. That way, when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you'll receive a crown that fadeth not away. You know, when we got up this morning, we knew that church, the assembly, was where we were going to go, if at all possible. We knew that last week when we left. We knew that this week was coming. Sunday was coming. The Lord's Day was coming. And we knew that there was nothing else that we were going to put on our plate. There was nothing else in our schedule. There was nothing else more important, unless, of course, something befalls us, such as sickness or taking care of someone who's sick or an accident or something that we can't help. But you know what I'm talking about. This is where you plan to be. You plan to be here, doing your part, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You came here ready to worship God. It's not a matter of anything else other than you're here to worship God. Many times we get distracted. We think, well, that song just wasn't what it ought to be, just wasn't led the way it should be. Sermon was dry, it was boring, it wasn't what it should have been. Somebody didn't say hello to me today. Somebody ignored me today, or whatever the case may be. The bottom line is, what you came here for is to worship God. And those kind of things are not things that we need to be concerned about that's going to affect us, is going to affect your faith when it comes to worshiping God. And just like these elders that were to look out for the flock and were to feed them and were to teach them and were to be ready to do that which is right, so should we. We should be ready to die. That may be a horrible thought. It's not something we relish. But we should be. Jesus told his disciples in John 7 and 6, and Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." You know what he meant by that? Jesus knew that there was a day set aside that he was going to be crucified and he would die. Jesus knew there was a place in which this would transpire at. He knew that it was on Calvary. He knew that it was on a Friday, as we call it today. It was the day before the Passover. He knew the hour, he knew the time, he knew the place. That's what Jesus was telling them. But you, he says, your time is always ready. In other words, you don't know that time. We have to be ready. Hezekiah in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, was a great king of Israel. He was a man whose heart was right with God. And Hezekiah, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and he tells him, "Hezekiah, get your things in order. You're going to die." And Hezekiah it just shattered him. On his bed, he was sick. And Isaiah is telling him, "You're not going to get better. You're going to die." So Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. He prays to God earnestly. God hears his prayer, and before Isaiah leaves the courtyard, he turns around and comes back in, and he says, "Hezekiah, God has heard your prayers, and he's granted you 15 more years." We don't have that luxury. No one's come to us and said, "You have 15 more years or 15 more minutes." So it is something to be ready for. It is something that's coming. We realize when we're born, it doesn't take long in life before we realize that things do not last forever. We can go through cemeteries and we can see the dates on the tombstones and how it affects the young, the adolescent, the middle-aged, the old. And we should be ready, realizing that is something that would come. Many people today will come to you at some point and they'll talk to you about a story of current event. And they'll say, "Aren't you surprised?" Well, I'll tell you what, there's not much more that surprises us of what people will do or will not do or how people will act or how they will do things. Would it surprise you that your life will end when you know, as you look around you, there are those that you have known that have left? So we should be ready. 1 Peter 4, 4 through 6 says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Yes, People may think it's strange that you live the kind of life that you live, but you know that you have to give account of this life, that you will be judged. As he says here, ready to judge the quick and the dead. That is Jesus. The quick being the living, the dead of those who have passed on. But all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We will all, or 5th chapter, verse 10. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive the things done in this body, whether they were good or whether they were bad. So it doesn't take us by surprise. And we read over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, where the great throne is there, and all people, both small and great, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. All the dead came and stood before the throne, and there they were judged according to the works that were written in the book. So it's not a surprise that we would die. It's not a surprise that we would be judged. And it's not a surprise that we will be judged by what we've done. And it's not a surprise that we will be judged by the words that we have been given to live by. Those same words, Jesus says in the 12th chapter of John, they're the words that will judge you in the last day. The Bible. So we need to have faith. We need to be strong. We're not going to be like Noah. God comes to Noah and he says, Noah, I'm going to flood this earth and I want you to build an ark. And Noah's over 100 years building this ark. Long time. We don't know the time when Jesus will come back. We don't know the time when our time will come. We don't know the time of our judgment. According to Acts 21:13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I'm ready. And he was. And he did. But Paul said, I'm ready. Paul even looked at it like, it'd be far better, he said, that I could go and be with Jesus than to be here on this earth. But I'll do what Jesus wants me to do. So, are we ready? Like we were this morning when we got up and we're ready to go to church. We're ready to give an answer to those people who would ask of us, what makes you the way you are? How come you're happy? How come your life is organized? You know, I hear that from people many times about Christians. People wonder, well, how do they have such a tranquil life? I know sometimes it's not. But much of the time, it most likely is. And people will admire you, the kind of life that you live. Are you ready to live that example to show others? That your life is not a life of turmoil. It's a life that is set for you for the cause of Christ. That we're ready to be offered. Are you ready for that next arrow that's going to fly in your direction? We don't know what that arrow is going to be. We don't know what's going to be written on it, but it's going to come. Abraham's a man of great faith. He's known as the father of faith, actually. And of course, he has a child, finally, by his wife Sarah, a beloved child. And he's of old age. And what does God ask him to do with this child? But to take him up to a place on Mount Moriah that he would show him and there sacrifice this child. And Abraham did exactly what God said, and we know that story. He didn't have to sacrifice his child, even though to him Isaac was already dead, because he would have carried it through just exactly like God had asked him to do. And of course, that was a story showing us how God gives his son. Because you remember he asked Abraham, take your son. Now he doesn't end there. Your only son, whom thou lovest. Yeah, that's God looking at offering his only begotten son on the cross. And whereas Isaac was saved from the death, Jesus was not. But Isaac to Abraham was like he was already dead. But here, Abraham's tested. You'll be tested. You may have already been tested. There may be more tests to come. Because we don't know what's around the next corner. See people all the time who stand up for their faith, and because they do, they lose their jobs. Some people lose their life. Some people lose livelihood. Some people lose homes. Some people lose a lot of things because they stand up for what they believe. Believing in Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. Are we ready? Paul said, I'm ready even to die. Luke 12 and 40 says, Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. As God told Noah to build that ark, a flood was coming, and he did what God told him to do, and he built the ark, and he was ready for it when it came. Jesus tells us, be ready. He's coming again, and we don't know when that time is. We read of the 10 virgins, and he says in Matthew 25 and 10, And while they went to buy, the 5 foolish, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So 5 were ready and 5 weren't. Is our faith such that we're ready today? Do we get up in the morning and even think about it? Is it a thought that even comes to our mind that today be the day Jesus comes? These roads out here are dangerous, and we see it every single day. There isn't a day goes by that somebody's life is not taken on these roads here in this area. And it happens all over the world. But yet we get out there and we drive it. But is it, we ever know that we need to be ready? In Mark 14 and 38, when Jesus went into the garden to pray, and he asked Peter, James, and John to come with him across the brook of Kidron, and there to wait with him. On 3 occasions, he comes back and he finds them asleep. Jesus says, Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So we need to be ready that we enter not to temptation. The spirit is ready to do the will of God. Many times this old flesh gets in the way. Many times we feel like we're just too tired. Many times we feel like we just can't do it. But we need to remember that the words of Jesus says the spirit is ready and willing. It's the flesh that is weak. And we need to have strength today. We need to have faith today. Your faith needs to be nurtured and it needs to grow. It is the building block that nothing else can come unless we have it. And if you have it just as a grain of mustard seed, as Jesus said, you could say to this mountain, Be ye removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. And we know what Jesus is talking about there. We know he's talking about an unwavering faith. We know he's talking about the faith that young David had when he faced the giant Goliath. We know that he's talking about the faith that we read about that so many people like Gideon had when he with just a few hundred men took on those that couldn't even be numbered because they had faith. Today, we must have faith, and we must be ready. Our faith could be tested. Something could happen to us. This morning, if you're not a member of the church, the Bible teaches us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of our past, to confess Him before men, and to be baptized into Jesus for the remission of sins. If there be one this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?